I can assure you he's got nothing to do with climate change.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Welcome to A Biblical Response, and this is our second program in what we hope to be several years of programs. I'm David Frankhuer, the moderator, host of the program. And with me today is, I'm looking to my immediate right, Keith Masters. Welcome,
good morning.
Keith.
Thank
good to
you.
Have you back.
Good to be here.
And right across from him is Ann Lomhoko.
Always a pleasure to be here. Good morning.
And then down from Ann is Stephanie Jacobson.
I'm here.
And I want to give a shout out. Stephanie's brother Lance is the voice of, now is the official voice
there
of the Biblical Response. He recorded the opener, as you just heard, and of course the end of the program, the close, and going to bring him back to do some of the promos we're going to do for
That'd
this down the road.
Yeah.
This is a program that pushes back the spirit of darkness with the light of Christ and the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to be looking at hot-button issues of the day. The first 15 minutes, is we're going to be taken up. We're going to kind of take you back, a recap from the last episode what we were talking about, and it's probably some new information that needs to be shared. So with that, I love my job as moderator because I just get you all to talk generally, and so I'm just going to throw it out.
Awesome.
Why don't you get started?
Well, I'm going to start this off with the fact that last week we talked about the Scrimeti case that went before the Supreme Court of the United States, and you know, we're being tried with so many different avenues that 30 years ago we didn't think this was even possible. But this argument was taken from Tennessee up to the United States Supreme Court, and what they were arguing was the fact that Tennessee, there were three sets of parents and three children that wanted to be able to take the drugs that would transition these children without even parental consent in the state of Tennessee. And the U.S. Supreme Court, the government actually took it up, and they decided that they would fight this case, and that took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said no, we're going to take this case, we're going to see what we can, you know, hear the arguments back and forth. And so that happened last week, and we have a clue. We don't have a final authority what they're saying yet, but we have a clue as to what they may say in, I think it's around June usually, and when they give their final arguments. But so, Anne, what is the clue that we're looking at, and how do they come about what they're going to do?
Anne, hold that before you do. I forgot to mention our phone number.
Oh, because
you are invited to call in, ask a question, make a comment. 772-221-1100. That's the number. 772-221-1100. There are somebody out there that'll answer your call and send you right into the studio. Okay, back to you, Ann.
So that was a great summary, Stephanie.
It's hard to summarize sometimes.
So the Supreme Court had about 2.5 hours of oral arguments last Wednesday. So it was the day after we were live last week. And because the makeup of the Justice Roberts, who is now the Chief Justice, the makeup of his court, the Roberts Court, is very conservative. So we have 9 Supreme Court justices, as I'm sure our audience knows, and we have 6 justices. That's Justices Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and the three of them were appointed by President Trump. So
Right. That's
even reason to vote, knowing that our president appoints justices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's even if you don't vote, that's one reason to vote.
Yes.
And then you have the dissenters, usually on the liberal side, is Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. But if they vote...
Don't forget Kenji, what's her last name, Brown? Justice Brown is also part of that.
I was only talking about the... You're right. There's more. Okay. But I guess I was saying what I was reading is the ones that I mentioned, it's a guarantee, but we're not sure because we don't have an indication. They take an initial vote.
Correct.
In the chambers, but that's not released to the public. If somebody doesn't leak it.
Right. That happened with Roe versus Wade
when it was leaked.
Yeah.
So if there's any indication that they're going to vote according to how they stand, you know, politically, conservatively, or liberally, this could go our way, is what we believe. But we don't know for sure. So we got to continue to pray on this case.
Right.
Yes, keep praying.
You know, after they take an initial vote, I didn't know how this all worked, and I had to go look it up. So all those listeners out there that don't understand what the Supreme Court does, so they will take an initial vote, and they're... Right after they hear the argument, they'll go into a chamber and they'll take an initial vote to see where the court and how it's looking. And whatever is discovered at that point, it would be determined who would be writing the draft of what we hear when they give the decision. And the Chief Justice would assign that case to someone there, and they would write that draft. And then, of course, they'd go back and hear another case, and they'd, you know, I didn't know that they didn't take very many cases, and that's why. It's very important to make sure that they get the constitutional assignment right. And so it does seem that the argument was in favor for Tennessee to have the authority to establish the law. So they're not really talking about the transgenderism. They're saying, does the state of Tennessee have the authority to establish the law that the people, the will of the people, because they sent the legislators there to do the will of the people, and that came back that they don't want transgenderism to take effect in the state of Tennessee with minors to have that, you know, chance to transition without, even with parental consent.
Yeah.
So,
but let's remember, folks, and I may be, you may say, I know all this already, but part of our job here is to bring our listeners back to the basics in the Bible.
Yes.
And how do we look at the whole transgender issue is that it's not the will of God. If you go to Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And how we discern that at the most scientific, elemental level is DNA, right? And it's that X or Y chromosome. That is how you determine your gender. Anything else is mental illness.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying, you don't like that, I'm sorry. But anything else, so as a Christian, and I'm speaking for myself, but when I deal with these issues of the day, and I look at this is what God says, God doesn't change. He's not going to, no amount of begging on your part is going to have him change his opinion that he only made men and women, male and female. There is no other gender that God has made. We want to get back to what God has made and honor that, celebrate that, and live our lives in that truth. So whenever other things like this pop up, well, you know the devil's involved in those discussions, in those arguments.
Right.
And this is how do we pray? Well, you know, we pray for God's will to be known and for these people now, for all these people struggling, either those that want to be somebody else or something else or are supporting them, God loves these people too. We need to pray for them.
And so do I.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I have a lot of people that I know that lean accordingly, and it's like, okay, how do you love them? I love them well.
Mm.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday about this case. And what happens is if when these kids transition, they stop the puberty process with puberty blockers. Mm-hmm. And God has designed us to go through the puberty process. It is just downright evil. And then obviously not only physically, but mentally, they're not processing things they're supposed to be processing at that age when they go through puberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just plain evil.
Yeah. We're also looking at the spiritual attacks, and that's what I think that we want to bring to mind. We want to bring this to attention. It's a spiritual attack that people don't understand it. You know, they don't want to believe in the devil, and they believe that God is responsible for all the bad things that happen in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they once they open their eyes and they understand, you know. So in Ephesians, and you know, this is what God says, right? This is what God is telling us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Amen.
This is one of the devil's schemes.
Yes.
All right? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, which is, right, the word of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And if you know, one way to underscore that, there's so many now youth who have been they've detransitioning now, mm-hmm. and they're standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. I mean, some are actually believers, some are not. But their common commentary is, you know, it was a horrible mistake. I was young. I didn't know what I was. And everybody did this, and now, you know, I'm trans. Yes, I'm saying that I was born a female. I'm a female. I was born a male. I'm a male. But here's the downside: they go through the surgery, the drugs, the surgery, and all that. Their health is now impaired for the rest of their lives.
And mm-hmm. what are people looking for? They're mm-hmm. looking for community, and sometimes they don't find it just out in, you know, the society. And so it's almost like that's the reason for the church as well. It's not just teaching, but there's a community and a responsibility to each other.
Yes.
And we're able to then love on each other and help each other through these things. So, you know, I would tell the listeners also that one of the call to action here is, you know, if you're not in a church,
mm-hmm.
you know, find other believers that are willing to come around you if you're struggling with this and be able to, you know, have unity and with someone other than like-minded transitional that they want to transition, because whoever you're surrounding yourself with is probably who you're going to be yourself. So
that's right.
That's what's right. coming into your ear.
Yeah.
People who read the Word of God.
Yeah.
And but I just want to say that we need to keep praying for a righteous verdict in this case, because anything can happen between now and when they hope to make the verdict public in June of 2025. Mm-hmm. So that's still 6 months away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we need to keep praying mm-hmm. that.
Well, never stop.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And our audience.
Even when there's a victory and it's an obvious victory, like Trump's win, that's wonderful. But we can't stop praying. We were praying heavily, mightily. But for America, for God's plan for America, of which his election is a part. But there's a bigger picture. We keep praying. We can't stop and say, oh, that's done. I'm done. You know, I'm going to go back and
do whatever. But you never know, like, the people that are trying to influence our justices. Back in 2012, when the Obamacare was before the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts changed his mind at the last minute to uphold Obamacare. So pray for protection for our justices, because we know unduly influences are going to try to persuade them to vote different ways that are not godly. So please keep our 9 justices in prayer.
Amen. So. Amen. With that, let's take a break.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response, and we just had a little recap from last week, but now we're going to talk about a hot-button issue that's in front of a lot of people, and I'm just going to open up to whoever wants to jump in.
Yeah, so we're looking at what's occurred through this transgender
topic.
Yeah. And right, through this So what's going on out there? And what's happened is that the Bible sales have increased drastically by 24% up to this point in time. Yeah. And I believe, go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned that our last point. I mean, that transgender is one of many issues that come out of the darkness that's been pressing in on us, mm-hmm. and is driving people to get answers,
right,
that are not secular. So,
right.
Yeah, that's a hot button issue, and so many others.
But also, the attack on the Jewish nation,
yes.
In the college campuses is another issue that's gone,
yeah.
that's gone wild.
Anti-Semitism,
yeah. And which, you know, people are starting to come to seek the truth. So the Bible
yes.
sales, right? People are starting to come to seek the truth, and the Bible sales that have gone up, I think what 22% is what we've
yeah.
is what we saw 22%.
So 22% this year through the end of October compared
right.
to last year's sales during the same time period. And that was an article that the Wall Street Journal published just this past week. So we thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah. And I, as I was researching this a little bit this week, I was talking to some of my, well, actually my cousin, and one of the reasons that I think the young people especially, and I think that the uptick is, they're gauging that it's first-time Bible owners and youth that's purchasing these Bibles. And I want to say this, too, that we're talking about physical Bibles, but I don't know that that brings up the whole thing of online Bibles.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. I looked it up.
Okay.
Because I'm like, wow, I wonder, a lot of Gen Z and younger folks like to just pop up their phone or their computer or their tablet. And similarly, you know, you guys know the YouVersion app,
mm-hmm.
the popular Bible app called YouVersion.
Mm-hmm.
Engagement with their software is at an all-time high.
Mm.
And they're citing Philippians 4:6, which, Keith, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's the most searched for verse right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And CBN
wow.
reports
wow.
every month of 2024 became the highest month in YouVersion for both app installs and daily use. YouVersion saw an average of 11.2 million new device installs per month and about 14
wow.
million people engaging in the Bible. So to answer your question,
that's awesome.
It goes from the physical touching Bible to
yeah.
using, like, Keith's got his Bible, his physical Bible right next to him, but he's got his phone
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I'll be looking at YouVersion.
Right.
And Luke 18.
Go ahead. Luke 18. What is it?
Luke 18, it's about praying, right? It's from the widow and the judge.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah.
A, yeah. We were talking about story. Continue praying and the judge, right, in the parable from what? Luke 18:4. Afterward, he said, the judge said to himself after the the widow was gone, constantly on top of the judge. And the judge said to himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her by continually come and she weary me. And the parable, Jesus is telling his disciples to always pray and not give up.
Amen.
Right. To always pray and not give up. And that's what we were discussing before.
Yeah.
With the, and I know this is...
No, it's all relevant,
it's,
man.
It's,
yeah.
Backdated from what we were talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
An invitation to our listeners to call in if you'd like.
Yeah.
772-221-1100 is the number to get you right into the studio through the lobby, I must add. Someone out there will take the call. 772-221-1100. Back to you.
One of the things that we were speaking about, too, was the authenticity of truth or what they're hearing in mm-hmm. you know in the news or online or these little sound bites that they get on you know on their phones there's
social media
yeah. you cannot like it's like 5 seconds of is it truth or is it not truth and it just continues to pound these kids and adults but mostly kids because they're looking for something, and it's a quick fix. It's this quick fix. I call it the drive-through mentality. Mm-hmm. So you order your food here, you get it at the next window, and you're gone. And it, you know, if you have to wait more than 5 seconds, and that's what's happening. So where does the enemy start to tear a person down? In the mind. The mind is the playground of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, that's a hard thing today where to get that out of those kids' hands is those phones. But if they're reading the Word of God now, I mean, if this uptick of the Bibles, that is a precious thing to get that into homes.
Yes.
And how it will change the authenticity of what they're hearing and what they're thinking. And it changes, you know, their trajectory and then their family's trajectory. And this is how the nation has changed. So that's a... That's a huge thing to see that God is working. You know, I was looking too at the how the Bible came about and what is the Bible? It's the overarching story of Jesus. That is what the Bible is. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was about in my teens, maybe early 20s, when that really sunk in that I was part of his story.
Amen.
His history is his story. Mm-hmm. And it's our overarching story. The Bible is the overarching story. So you see it from Genesis all the way to the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection. And then, you know, Revelation is the continuation. And we're in that right now. We're in the continuation of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So we become part, his hands and feet, of Jesus. Going out, even today, what we're doing today is to equip the listeners, to equip the Christians to be able to speak to others about who he is. This is the Great Commission.
I was driving down the road with my wife and my son, and we were coming from baseball or vacation or something, and in front of me was a semi truck. It was a aluminum coated. Semi truck that was in front of me, and as I'm looking at it, the Holy Spirit is telling me I'm a reflection of the Lord, because I could see. I said I was talking. You could see the reflection of the car.
That's beautiful.
And the Holy Spirit put it on me that I'm a reflection of the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to point out that Keith is all into the Word. He's all about the Word. And it's the Word that renews our mind.
Well, that's the Word that renews our mind. But it's also, you know, it's a journey. And I keep, you know, this morning was a difficult time with my son for a minute there, you know. So it's a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, my son is a teenager, just turned a teenager, and he's just turning a teenager. And, you know, trying to let him know that for his life goals, to start seeing himself as an adult and what he wants to plan for in his life and the sacrifices that have to be made now. So that was, you know,
it's such an important time in a kid's life. I mean, and going back to the subject we were talking about before, if we're not feeding these kids mm-hmm. the right way, I've had people say, well, I'm going to let them decide. Well, the problem is, what are you putting in front of them to decide?
Yeah.
Because if you're not, if we as parents are not teaching our children the word, the truth, you know, it says hide in your hearts mm-hmm. so that, you know, when you're older,
sin against.
Yes. And then when you're older, you won't depart from it. Well, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a Christian. It means that you at least have the truth of the word, so you know which way to go, and God will light that fire. So, you know, I just, as children, my children, I had five children. Mm-hmm. You put the kindling around them, which mm-hmm. is the word of God, mm-hmm. taking them to church, giving them that kindling around them. And that's all you can do. You don't light the fire that's in them, but you sure as heck put the kindling around them, and then God's the one that lights that fire. Amen. Holy Spirit lights that fire.
But your witness, too, is important, because if you have the fire in you,
absolutely,
they're going to see that.
Yeah, by
and more
example,
than that, they're going to hunger for it. They're
okay,
want
can I
that.
Tell you a story about my grandson? I know we're not here to tell stories about all our kids, but okay. my grandson, he lives in Michigan, and he told his mom, he says, "Well, I know that you're a good Christian woman, Mom." And she goes, "Well, how do you know that?" And he goes, "Have you met Yaya?" Which they call me Yaya. So, Grandma, have you met my grandma? So he was saying, "You were raised right. You were raised in the Bible, and you knew
praise
the Bible
God.
And stuff." So
that's a powerful witness.
It was. It was just very, very kind of breathtaking almost to hear that from
that's beautiful.
Your offspring.
Just thinking back to, and that's a great story, by the way. the point, you know, that we're discussing is the huge number of increase in Bible sales over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one thing that comes to me is hunger, spiritual hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God doesn't force anyone to receive his son, Jesus.
Mm-mm.
There's no coercion.
Mm-mm.
God doesn't do that. He very much keeps his hands off of. Some people will say that he does it, but he does not do that. We have to choose.
We have free will.
Yes, we do. And yet, there are things that I believe God does that give us encouragement to consider God over the devil, if you will, if you'd be that basic, God over the devil. And that there's within each of us a hunger for authenticity, I think. That's one way of saying it. I think it's hunger for God,
well,
pure and simple.
Yeah,
and the Word of God begins to satisfy that hunger.
And it does. And we were just talking about our kids. And it goes, God, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go,
amen.
And he will not depart from it.
Yes.
And this is why we bring God's Word into the family. This is why we do that, because it's God's word going into them. God tells us, and that's a promise from the Lord, mm-hmm. that they will not depart from it.
Yes.
You know, this is encouraging to have this Wall Street Journal report this information.
Right.
I guess, according to the Wall Street Journal, sales increased from $9.7 million in 2019 to $14.2 million in 2023 in the first 10 months of 2023. I'm sorry. In the first 10 months of 2024, that went up to 13.7 million copies sold. So that just gives me encouragement and hope, you know, because we continue to pray for everyone in this world
and
for people to be saved.
And we can talk and talk and talk and talk, and we go to church every Sunday. But if you're not in the Word,
right,
and hiding that Word in your heart, even as an adult, there's so many other things that vie for our attention.
Yeah.
And it's distracting. And so that's why it says to renew our minds daily, because mm-hmm. we are flesh and blood,
yes.
and we are dying. Our brains are dying. You know, my mom at the end of
our brains are dying.
Well, that explains a lot.
I hate to tell y'all
that's
that.
What's happening to Stephanie.
So listen, on my way down here this morning,
wake up.
I was really early, but then. Then something happened. I realized that I had passed my exit to get here, and my brain was like, on the turnpike. There's no it's 17 miles to the next turn.
Wow.
I did that recently, too.
So I had to start reading my Bible in my brain, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm not very happy right now. But I had to go back to the Word of God and say, do not be anxious for anything.
Amen.
That's a good example.
So, yeah.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
If you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment. The number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We'll be right back.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
And we are back. A biblical response. We're talking about how to look at the issues that concern us in the day through the lens of the Bible. We're talking about, speaking of Bible, the tremendous increase in Bible sales. We've been talking about that and maybe what's behind it. And we're going to continue in this segment to do just that. So I'm going to turn over the floor. Oh, before we remind you the number again, 772-221-1100, if you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question, 772-221-1100.
Awesome. That's good. Well, you know, I want to start with the Bible scripture that says Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, the word of God cuts and heals. It doesn't, it's a wielding sword. And it, you know, we think of a sword as two-edged, all right? And it's very sharp. And we think of it as cutting, but it also heals. And so we don't have to be afraid of the scripture. We don't have to thump people over the head with the Bible. It is the truth, and it cuts.
Yes.
It. I don't have to do it. The word of God will do it, but then it comes back with a balm and heals it. It unifies and it divides. I mean, that's what it does. So we don't have to do that ourselves. As I was studying this week about the Bible, one of the things that this radio program has done is pushed me to look into some things that I kind of know, but I don't really know, you know? You don't know where the Bible, how did the Bible get here? And I've had people tell me, well, it was, you know, man's words. And I have got on my knees and asked the Lord, you know, what about the Bible? How, and this has been in the past, this wasn't recent, but one of the things that I felt that he showed me was, I am the word of God.
Yeah, John 1.
I will protect my word.
Amen. Amen.
So it's not about us protecting it. He is protecting it, and he will not allow it to go out and not come back with some, it doesn't come out, go out and come back void.
Nope. It he accomplishes it, the purpose for it, which it was sent.
That's it.
Yep.
And so in my studies this week, William Tyndale, I always say Tyndale, and they corrected me this week, so I'm going to go with Tyndale.
I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but that's
Tyndale is how I've always...
Okay.
I've said it Tyndale as well.
Okay.
Well, he kind of stuck out to me, and I know there's other Bibles, like Wycliffe, he did some writing with the Bibles and translated and stuff.
I say Wycliffe.
But... Wycliffe, oh my gosh, okay.
Wycliffe, my
record spec pronunciation. Radiator.
All right, we'll let the listeners decide which it is.
John Wycliffe, but, actually, is who we're talking about.
William Tyndale actually went back to It was in Latin, and it was in the church, and there was no way for the average person in their homes to read it. And so it was actually during the time of the Reformation that this all started occurring, that, you know, get this into the hands of the people. He wanted that the plowboy who was out in the field to be able to come into his home and read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to discern with him.
The way it should be, and not be interpreted by people to tell us what the Bible says.
Right. We should be going to the Word of God ourselves, not regurgitated from other people, but going to the actual Word and seeing what God is saying to you. And the funny thing is when you start, when the Holy Spirit, he says he bears witness with himself, which means that when you hear other people that are just normal people like me and you, and, you know, we're normal people, but when you start hearing the same thing, it starts bearing witness with himself. And that's how we know who the believers, if they're truly believing what God's word is. And if it's not, then that's where iron sharpens iron, and we get to come together and we get to talk about it. And, you know, I hear things on here that I don't completely agree with, even in this set, you know, these four people that are in this room. Not everything is going to be exactly what I believe, but that's okay. God, it cuts and it heals. And then I get to go home and say, Lord, what do you have for me? So he, William Tyndale was an outlaw, what they called God's outlaw, because
that's a compliment.
It is, yes, yes. Because every word that he translated was against the I don't want the powers that be at that moment.
The church. There was the church.
It was the church
controlled and had not wanted the public and the lay people, the people in the field and plowing, like you said, to have access. So William Tyndale wanted to get it translated.
That's right.
From the Latin Vulgate to just the regular English language.
And so he went back to the Hebrew.
Yep.
He went all the way back.
And the Greek.
And the Greek. And the Greek. Yes. Mm-hmm. And went back and translated that. And that's how we got the Tyndale Bible, which came through the Reformation. And yeah, so the invention of the printing press was really the kicker. So when that happened, then they were able to print it and get it. And oh my goodness, what he went through.
This man suffered, but count it all joy when you go through trials.
If you cross the line. Now, we should be, to be totally fair, there were certain elements in church hierarchy. The entire church was not opposed.
Right.
In fact, if you include the folks in the pew, you know, they're going to ultimately benefit by it. They didn't have a dog in that fight, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was mainly the hierarchy that were discomforted by the fact that someone wanted to turn the Bible from the dead language that they'd been using in their liturgy and in their reading into something the common people could read and follow. And God was in that. I want to just go back for a minute just to say, because as a pastor, and I've run into a lot of people, some in the church, some not in the church, but back then I wore clothes that made me obviously a pastor, right? And I'd get challenged. I remember one day I was at a grocery store, and the guy was helping me with the cart, and I was buying some stuff for an event we were going to have at the church. And so after he helped me load the car up, he turns to me and says, I don't believe in the Bible. I says, What? I said, like, right there it is. He said, because it's been translated so many times, how can you believe that it's true? And I said, well, I said, here's the deal.
That's a good question.
Is God has never given up his commitment to his word, no matter how it is brought together. He always ensures that there is integrity in the presentation of his word. And I say, it's not just in... Yes, the translators are listening to God, hopefully, once it's out. But God also, the reader, the readers have to depend on God to enable the integrity of his word.
Yes.
So, you know, God's in charge of it all. And, of course, this young man didn't seem to buy that, and I had to go to the church for the event. But you know, this is an argument a lot of people have, is how can I trust the Bible? when it's been translated into so many languages and so many versions in English, let's say there's, what, 20, 30 or more?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you got to trust God first.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, most of the people I've run into that have those questions, they don't trust God at all. They're not coming from a position of trust.
They're searching for something.
Lead people back.
We all are searching, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's searching. Doesn't matter what you believe or where you're going or what road you're on. Mm-hmm. You're searching for something. And we're all searching for something outside of ourselves. You know, I've often wondered, and I know this is, I'm taking men and women separately here, but I've often wondered how men actually come to Christ, because it's harder for men to feel. Women are more emotional. I mean, we're created that way. I've seen some emotional men, but I'm just saying, in the most part. And I've also often felt sometimes sorry for men, because they
you got two men in the studio.
Well, I know, but I do. I have, because it's like I can feel emotion or show emotion.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think that our society has told men, you can't be emotional. You can't show the emotion. But then I got to thinking this week about the fact that they're searching as well. Mm-hmm. And they really want something outside of themselves that is bigger than them. Even though they might not on a daily basis actually prove that, because they have to go to work, and we all go to work, but you know, they have this manly
to provide, the provision thing.
And so you have to go and you have to conquer and you have to, and that's always been kind of the manly thing. But it's like, no, I think men are looking for something more than themselves.
When the Holy Spirit came upon me, I cried for 2 days. I cried,
that's
literally cried.
Keith. Now,
I just cried for 2 days.
That's beautiful.
God showed me who I was.
Mm.
God showed me who I was, and I could see who I thought I was. God showed me who I was, and I just cried for 2 days.
Wow.
And that's what God did to me.
Mm.
Because go ahead.
No, Keith, tell us a little bit about what you do, because I know that you talked about how you got to WCNO last week, but you know, we didn't really get, and I know we've got a few minutes here.
Well, tell us 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Well,
can you give us a little bit of your testimony, maybe?
Well, I want to go just real fast. We were talking about, you know, people saying that the Bible is written in so many different languages and stuff.
Translations.
But that is prophecy also. The Word of God says that each ear will hear, will have the ability to hear God's Word before the end times come. And I just looked this up, and it just says here, 6,500 languages, and having only reached 2,500 languages. So the Bible is still being translated into your languages for you to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is true. So this is all prophecy. And you can go back to, you know, how much prophecy has been fulfilled since Adam and Eve. You can see how much prophecy has been fulfilled up until this point, right? The headquarters for the embassy being moved back into Jerusalem is a prophecy being fulfilled. So this is the truth of God. And so I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's good.
So because of the languages, God's word is God's word. And it's by the Spirit, it's by the Holy Spirit that God fulfills his word. And people have to understand that. You know, the hand is written by man, but the word of God is written by the Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit inspires the person.
And God will use anything. There's even some people are Star Trek fans and some people are not. So most people are. So you know,
beam them up, Scott.
Since the
I'm
beginning,
down.
Well, I'm sort of a Star Trek fan. I mean,
Stephanie
that, you know,
and I are like, well,
but in the very beginning of the program, one of the people groups that were at enmity with the Federation, which was that body of planets. You know.
Yes.
Anyway, this is the truth to the and. Was the Klingons, right? Okay, if you're immediately a Star Trek with who the Klingons were and how franchise treated them.
Right.
But about 20 when the even before the Next Generation Star Trek, which was the TV show that followed
right.
the original. This was back in 1987 when it came on.
Right.
Someone had sat down and wrote the Klingon language. They created an entire language
right.
for a fictional people group.
That's right.
All right? And, of course, then all the actors, their lines were speaking in Klingon, and then they had, but it was translatable into English. So at some point, maybe 20-something years ago, obviously a Star Trek fan, wrote the Klingon Bible.
Hang on.
Really?
And it was a Bible that was written in the Klingon language, which again...
I'm just laughing. Really?
It's
I'm
funny.
Sorry.
Well, it is
but
funny.
This is good news.
But now here's the point. Here's the point of all this. Is our God... people. There were stories that I would hear people who were not believers, but they were Star Trek fans, who bought the Klingon Bible and read it and came to Christ.
Oh, my
absolutely
word.
Got saved.
The Holy Spirit used that. There's,
but the Holy
point.
Spirit
there's
used
the point.
That.
There's the point.
Okay, because God can use anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can. So,
you know,
so.
But here's the point, getting back to talking about the integrity of the Word of God
yeah.
is dependent on God. It's not
the,
on me
translator.
Or you or the translators.
Yes, yes. So
is it a bad thing that
that's a good point.
I know
Very
that the characters on the Big Bang Theory know Klingon.
Yeah, that's a little another. Listen,
no.
let's take a
no.
break.
This is a good time to take a break, actually. Let's go.
But we'll wait a minute, break. wait a minute. Because you see, this is where do you search for? You search, the search isn't about going into the Klingon. The search is about going into Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
All right?
Right.
So.
Right.
So where you're searching is where you're going to get your answers.
And the Lord
Absolutely.
Going to honor where
and
you
Lord
search.
Right. Open to discovery.
Right. The truth, right. So there's so many people, there's so many different things out there for
yes.
you to search for. The answer is Jesus Christ and the truth in the Bible, of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to that break.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Well, we're back. This is a biblical response. During the break, I just reminded everybody how we were concerned about running out of things to say and how the Spirit of God is going to be assured that we have more than enough to say in any given hour. We're back the less of the last 15 or actually 12 minutes of our broadcast for today. We're going to kind of wrap up our discussion, and then at about 11:55, Keith is going to pray. And going to close us off and call to action in prayer. So how are we going to wrap this up, guys?
Well, I just want to start. I just want to start by saying the thought came to me that there's going to be an increase in people going and looking for that Klingon Bible.
Yeah, probably still out there.
You know what? We need to pray for those Star Trekkies.
That's right. No,
right?
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking that's probably a thing. Somebody's going to go look for that Klingon Bible. So I'm glad you said that. No, I just want to tell the listeners that we're thankful for them being here, first of all.
Amen.
I mean, that is just anybody that's listened to us all through this hour. This has been a fun hour. But there's a lot of truth to what we're saying here about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful for them being here. And you know, let us know what you're thinking I know that, there's a call to action that we're going to give you here in a little bit, but I would say that part of it is keep us in your prayers. Because this can get heavy in here sometimes, and we want y'all to know that we're happy you're here, and just a privilege to be able to come into your home or your car or wherever you are, and sing the praises of Jesus, no matter whether we're laughing or crying or whatever it is. So thank you for being here and reading the Word with us and talking about Him. So
can I Amen. Can I read Joshua 1:8?
Yeah,
you that's certainly coming can. To me.
Okay, so this is in the ESV version. Joshua 1:8.
English standard for the people that aren't.
That's right. That's
ESV
right.
ESV stands for English standard. This so book of, it's coming to you in English.
Thank you. Keith being funny. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So the Bible should not depart from your mouth, Joshua says, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So that's just scripture to point out how we can have good success in life is being centered and anchored on the Word of God. And that's why we brought up this topic today.
Yep. And John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
So to meditate on that, to understand that the devil tries to scheme, as the Lord tells us, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the protection against that is the Word of God. To protect your mind, to protect your family, and to protect everything around you is the Word of God. So where you're searching for it, where you're looking, God is trying to speak to you now and to let you know, right? To let you know that He's there, that it's about God. Everything in this universe is the Lord's. Klingon Bibles and everything, right? They belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
Psalm
everything.
24 verse 1, right? Everything is the Lord's. And We're talking about the truth of God between the transgender and where people are going and being deceived is really what's going on in the world because God wants to bring you back. God wants to bring you and to understand the salvation that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation, that you should have eternal life. And that's what this is all about.
And the Bible will cast the light of truth on the darkness of deception and drive it away. You'll be able to see how you've been deceived.
And the deceiver only has one way of doing it. I mean, it says in his name, the deceiver.
Yes.
He deceives, he lies. So what is the truth? The Word of God.
Yes.
And, you know, I say this word very carefully, but the only thing the enemy has is lies. And all he has to do is take it, and what I say is bastardize it just a teeny tiny bit.
Yep.
Not even, it looks so close to the truth. Mm-hmm. And it says in the end days that even the elect can be deceived, right?
Yes.
So
right.
We
That's
have
us.
To be on guard of our hearts and our minds.
Right. And we talked to, I'm sure a lot of people who listen to WCNO have been saved for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking to just those like Gen Z that are picking up the Bible for the first time, but people seasoned, all in the room, right? Believers for a long time.
Yeah, I'm old.
When I say seasoned, I don't mean age-wise. But we need to be reminded to stay in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And, everybody does.
I was in the supermarket one day, and the Lord is amazing. And I'm talking to a gentleman from New York, and I believe he was mafioso, okay? I mean, that's just my general thought.
Sure.
And the Lord opens up the conversation in the middle of the aisle in the store. And this isn't the first time. No, we had to talk about God. And I told him, you know, that we were talking about Jesus. And his response is that God won't forgive me for all that I've done. And I can't forgive myself.
Right.
Now, and also while I was out on the street, a woman, and I told her, she's a drug user, she's pretty tough on herself, she's very tough out on the street with the homeless that she's with, people don't like her, and I told her, God will forgive her, and she said, I can't forgive myself. So one of the things, right, to come to the Lord to understand is that God forgives you. All you have to do is ask Him to forgive you.
There's nothing too far you could do that He will not forgive.
Amen. And the point is that God is God. He created you. He created you, and he is your Father in heaven. And once you understand that, that everything that we've done wrong, I mean, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I cried for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to understand that God loves you and that the Bible is the word of God to forgive yourself. You are, if you can't forgive yourself, you're saying that you're bigger than God.
That's true. That's
you're right. Saying that you're bigger than God. God forgives you. God created
that's
you.
That's a whole nother show. That's I'm telling you, that's a whole nother show.
Right? Keith, why don't you move us into prayer, brother?
Okay, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time and for sharing your word, Lord, and for sharing your love amongst the ears and the ears that you are opening, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray, Father God, for you to open the hearts and touch hearts, Lord, to receive you in your wisdom, your knowledge, and your truth.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, Jesus. For your salvation, we just thank you, and we ask you, Lord, to bless WCNO, Lord, to increase the size, Lord, to sharing your word, Father God, and we just thank you to put a hedge of protection around WCNO and bless all the ones and all Stephanie, Ann, and David. We thank you for them, Father God, and their wisdom that you have given them through the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And yes, we lift them up for blessings, Lord, and we just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Keith, Amen. Brother. Thank you so much. Yeah, we only have a couple of minutes left, and so... in that time, I don't have anything to say.
What?
Amazingly
Are
enough,
you kidding
I know,
me?
I know. Yes, if my wife's listening, and she probably is, she'll, when I go home, she'll say, "What happened?"
Well, I do have something to say. Nobody will ever tell me that I don't have anything to say. Believe me, ask anybody. So this week, if the listeners, our call to action to you is to pray for a good influence and protection for our nine justices in the Scrimeti case for the children that are being affected by this across the nation, but especially in those that are going to be high profiles. That's a hard place to be for the parents, that they can give their children a good foundation instead of, you know, just their own thoughts and wishes. And then I would ask that the audience or the listeners give praise to the Lord for the word of God, that he has created a way for us to know him more intimately. And I just want to thank the audience for being here today again. This is fun. This is good. I'm glad you all were here, and can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
We will be back.
And on an end note, I would urge our audience and our listeners to read Psalm 119. That's a very long psalm in the Bible,
but it is
all about the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
So please read Psalm 119. Take a couple of verses every day and meditate on that beautiful psalm about the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just excited that we talked earlier about the hunger, that I believe God has given all of his people to know him. And that in the Word of God is, for us, one of the best venues to meet the living God. And it's that leads us to prayer. And, of course, prayer is another venue, a vector. I love that word, vector. As we come to meet, really to meet God in the throne room, personally. God wants us personally.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's, we have that access. We don't have to do a song and dance and, you know.
If anybody ever said that it is boring, it is not.
No.
The Christian walk.
No.
The
Christian walk is not boring. In fact,
it's the most fulfilling walk ever.
One of the quotes that I don't remember a whole lot, honestly, but back in the day when I was doing prison ministry and the executive director of that ministry was enamored with some of the writings of Christians who had gone before us, and G.K. Chesterton was not so much popular today, but he was to this guy. And there was a quote, Chesterton said, "The Christian faith has not so much been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and not tried." I believe that is very true, you know, but the difficulty often comes because you're in the world, and that's where the devil is, and he doesn't want you to think it's God's going to make it easy. But in fact, when you do open up to God's word, it is. Anyway, I guess I'm the last one to talk. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of
a biblical response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.